I Make These Ends Meet. It's Home Economics with Shamrabeel Yaqub on 95 BFM. Thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's fastest growing KiwiSaver plan.
Hi Shamrabeel, are you there?
Good morning, I am here.
Great. Hi, I'm Tom.
Hi Tom.
Listeners, we're talking on the phone, but I wish Shamrabeel was here in person. How's it going? Yeah.
Very good. Very hard for me to get in the morning. I've got little kids.
No, it's all
really?
Good. We understand.
So, are we talking about KiwiBuild today?
We can talk about anything you want.
I'd love to talk about KiwiBuild. Is that okay? It's very timely and very appropriate to me. And just FYI, with all our kind of the people that I've talked to today, they've all, like, we've got the surf report. So Kitty's going to be taking me surfing, and I'm going to a movie review with to watch a movie with Maria. So you can help me, Shamrabeel. You can help me buy a house.
Well, fingers crossed. We'll get there.
Well, first of all, can you just explain what is KiwiBuild?
Well, KiwiBuild is essentially this government, the Labour-led government's plan to build 100,000 houses in the next decade. So they've just started.
Great.
And the way that you're going to be able to buy the house is you enter into a ballot. So you put your name in and you'll get picked. And you'll have to have the deposit and the money all sorted out from the bank. So you have to have the income to be able to repay the mortgage and the deposit.
And is it what is the deposit dependent on what house you're buying? Like the amount?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, for a new build, you should be able to borrow with a 10% deposit. So, say you're buying a $500,000 unit, you'd need to have a $50,000 deposit by the time the house is ready.
Great. And it's for people who earn up to 120, a single people who earn up to 120,000?
Yeah. So, that's for a single people who earn up to 120,000 and couples who earn up to 180,000. Now, if you look at the statistics for New Zealand, that's the majority of New Zealanders.
And do you think, I mean, do you think it's a really good scheme?
Well, look, I mean, in a broad scheme of things, the positive part about KiwiBuild is we're actually building houses. So one of the big tragedies for New Zealand is for the last 40 years, we haven't been building enough houses. New Zealand builds about 20,000 houses a year, but we should be building 30,000 houses a year.
Right. Okay, right. And so, but I read in your article that, like, we already build a certain amount, so this 100,000 over the decade will be additional.
Well, we hope. So the idea with KiwiBuild is they're going to build slightly differently to what the market normally builds. So if you look at the kinds of houses we build in New Zealand, they tend to be quite big houses.
Yes.
So we tend to build the Mac Mansions, right? The four-bedroom plus with lots of bathrooms, which are quite expensive.
Yeah.
But what we don't build is those one, two-bedroom houses that might be quite small, but also affordable. And what KiwiBuild is trying to do is build a lot more in that smaller and higher density end of the scale.
Right.
So hopefully what it will do is it will build houses that are different from what the market currently provides, and that housing will be additional. Because there's no point if the government comes in and essentially goes, we're going to build 100,000 houses, but the market's still going to produce 20,000 houses a year anyway, just like we used to do before.
Yeah, because it's a big cultural shift, isn't it? Because New Zealanders want the quarter acre section or whatever. And, like, if you look at Europe, for example, people are quite happy to live in apartment living. So it's a huge shift. We have to make the shift.
We do. And I think the cultural shift is happening. So in the more crowded, bigger areas like Auckland, Queenstown, Wellington, you'll notice that houses are pretty dense anyway.
Yeah.
And if you go to places like, you know, Ponsonby or Parnell, those places that have been built a long time ago, they were pretty dense. So we used to do dense. And then we stopped doing dense because we went into that kind of suburban dream.
Yeah.
And then we've kind of tried to go back to where we really should go, because more dense living is actually better for everyone, because you get to be close to everything. You don't have to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a lot of additional stuff you have to do in terms of amenities, parks, those kinds of things.
Mm.
So density, you're absolutely right. There is a cultural and mindset shift, but the biggest trigger is if people are given access to affordable houses, people will live in them. And we've already seen with the KiwiBuild application process that there's a big list of people who want to buy those houses. So there is a huge amount of appetite, but the market as it operates now doesn't want to build those kind of houses.
Yeah.
If there's a massive demand, which the amount of people registering their interest for KiwiBuild homes suggests there is, is the wage cap, is it too high? Are we offering affordable housing to those people who probably don't need it as much, those at a lower cap?
Yeah, so we don't have 100,000 people registered yet. So certainly in the beginning, we're going to get lots of people who are going to be able to afford it. So the income cap is far too high in that it is going to allow pretty much everyone to access it. But it's still a ballot, so you've got an equal chance to get in there. I think the bigger constraint is whether or not you've got the deposit, because saving a deposit is actually really hard, right? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but after you've paid all your expenses, there's not a lot left at the end of the week.
No.
And the second thing is, how much is your income while you're working, and are you able to get a mortgage from the bank that's going to be able to repay your mortgage? I don't think the numbers are not insurmountable. I think in places like Auckland and Queenstown, they're a little bit difficult. But outside of those places, I think, particularly in the provinces, houses will be quite affordable. So I'm still keeping an open mind, because what I really want to see is, what does the government actually deliver at the program? So far, all we have seen are the big plans, and only now are we starting to see the details emerge.
So the whole scheme is to millionaires can't buy up all the houses. Is that, in layman's terms, is like the common man can now buy a house rather than someone coming along and taking it?
Exactly. And I think this is what this QA Bill thing does. It gives us hope, right, that we're not going to be competing against somebody else who's just got so much more money and so many more resources than we do.
Yeah.
And essentially, I think the big challenge is, how do we make sure that the QE Bill thing doesn't turn into farce, right? So because it's a ballot, we know that we all have a reasonable chance of getting in there. But you only have to hold it for 3 years. After 3 years, you can sell it. So if the market is still very expensive, it's possible that after people get into these houses, they'll get into the market and prices still will be very unaffordable.
Right.
So it may not be a permanent solution on its own. So QE Bill is only one part of what we need to do in terms of fixing housing in New Zealand.
I didn't know about the three-year thing. That was one of my questions, because if you're trying to avoid people using the property market as investment, I guess you've got to put rules with regards to that sort of thing. So is it a three-year wait time? You have to live in it or own it before you can flick it off?
That's right. So, and you only get to buy it once, right? So, you know, first home buyers and second chances, I think they call it. And once you get in there, you have to keep it for 3 years. After that, you can do what you want with it because it's your house. But in reality, the thing is, we know that housing has been so affordable. There are lots of people who've just been completely priced out of the market. So if you get into the housing market, most of the people who are going to buy, I seriously doubt, are going to be selling their houses, because once you sell, you can't get back in.
Yeah, right. Okay, there we go. and can we still sign up to the ballot?
Absolutely. I mean, right. The thing is, this is a 10-year program, right? So absolutely fill your boots, get in there, because the whole idea is you've got to be in with a chance.
Yes.
And if you know that you're in the ballot process, then you've got a really achievable target in terms of, I need to save $50,000.
Yes.
And you can make a really good financial plan in terms of how you get there, including using your KiwiSaver, including whether or not how much student loan you take on. All of those decisions will factor in. And you might want to go and talk to your bank and figure out, what sort of income would I need to have to service a mortgage like this?
Great. Amazing.
Wow. All that forward planning stuff that we do so well when we're at university.
Well, nobody does it. I don't know about you. When I was at uni, it was all about drinking. But, it's about making sure that you also happen to get a job that's going to give you some income.
That's a really excellent piece of advice, though, figuring out the kind of wage you need to be on in order to service saving for a deposit.
Yeah.
Simple things that make lots of sense until you've never thought of them.
And where are these?
And you can just do it online, right? You can just go on the bank website and you can plug in the figures and you can get a reasonable sense of it. And most banks will give you that advice, because I'm sure every campus has access to banks, right? So it's really about making sure that you kind of have a rough idea. This is a pretty cool scheme if you can get a hold of it.
And how do you find the website? Do you just Google Kiwi Build sign up ballot?
Dude, you're the millennial. If you can't Google, then I'm not sure I can tell you how to do this.
Good call. Where are they? So the houses, in terms of the area, like, where are they just being built? Do we know? Do you get to choose the kind of zone? Well, I mean, you do. You wouldn't choose the house that you don't want to area you don't want to live in. But where are they all getting made?
Well, in various places. So they haven't figured out all the land yet. So one of the big sites is, of course, the Unitech land that you might have heard about. So
yes.
Fantastic location, right? Close to infrastructure, close to lots of different things. So we're going to see lots more stuff that's coming on board over the next little while, but they haven't sorted all the land out yet. So I think what happens is you register your expression of interest, and then when a particular project goes on sale, you then apply for that particular project.
Right. Great. Awesome. Do you think, like, do you know about housing around the world, and what country is doing it best?
What country is doing it best? Yeah. Nobody does it perfectly, right? So, you know, so my sort of model of how places do it better rather than best would be most of the European countries, particularly places like Germany, where you tend to see much greater housing supply, so they build a lot more houses.
Yeah.
And also they don't have the same obsession with owning. So it's kind of the flip side of New Zealand. Two-thirds of households in Germany rent, mm-hmm. and one-third aren't.
Yes.
But more importantly, the reason why they rent is that their quality of rentals is very good, mm-hmm. and the quality of renting regulation is very good. You can't get kicked out and all those other bits and pieces easily. So essentially what we're looking at is a place where it doesn't really matter. And the final thing is their house prices haven't really risen in the last 30 or 40 years. So unlike us, where we've got house prices and rents have increased a lot,
yes.
we're not building enough houses, our renting regulation is crap, you know, all of those kinds of things, it's kind of like, well, it doesn't quite work for anyone here, right?
Yeah.
And in those other models, it feels like they've got some things right, and those markets seem to be working better. Not always. Because in places like some parts of Germany, they have housing shortages too. Because when you get a sudden surge of population growth, for example,
mm-hmm.
very hard to build houses fast enough. Because you've got to plan, you've got to get the land ready, the infrastructure ready, all those other bits and pieces.
Yeah. Great.
Well, here's hoping we sort out what's best for New Zealand then, eh?
Absolutely. But all you listeners, let's sign up. Let's all go on the ballot. Let's go on the ballot together, guys.
Let's go on the ballot together and then make sure you've got a good KiwiSaver scheme in place. Eh?
Yes.
You see where I'm going with this one?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Shamabeel. That's been excellent info. We will talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Thanks for having me.
Money, money, money must be funny in a post-capitalist utopia. Home Economics on 95BFM. Thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's only non-profit KiwiSaver plan, saving its members more than $4.5 million each year in fees.